I thought about giving each guy a word to deal with, and try to do something a little different. Give each guy a word. But take your Bible, look in John chapter 10. Look at John chapter 10. I might do that next week. I'm trying to figure out ways to keep you interested, keep you focused. And a lot of times what happens is you get used to the same old, and you get kind of, you kind of look in the distance rather than looking right in front of you. John chapter 10, and this is a word. This is one word. And the word is verse 36. Look at John 10, 36. Back up to verse 30. He says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Jesus, I mean, here's the Lord God. He's looking them right in the eyes, and they got stones in their hands. He goes, I've done many mighty works and many good works in front of you. Which one are you going to stone me for? And then the Bible says, and the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered them, it is written in your law, and I said, ye are gods. And if you call them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, ye say ye unto them, or unto him, whom the Father hath sanctified. That word sanctified, I want you to see that word sanctified. He says, and sent into the world. And he says, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified. Now, Jesus Christ said, my Father sanctified me. And what does sanctification mean? It means to be set apart. Amen. For a purpose. Yes, sir. To be sanctified is to be set apart. You hear about, I remember I first got saved, I heard the holiness saying, and some of the people saying, I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I know what they mean, but they were talking about, you know, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. And some people mean other things by speaking in tongues and all that. But sanctification is being set apart for a purpose. Now, everybody in this room, whether you realize it or not, you've been sanctified and set apart for a purpose. You have a purpose in your life. And the thing is, it's up to you to find that purpose. And it's not like a mystery. It's not like it's some great mystery that you got to go seeking like Indiana Jones and go into a cave or something to try to find out what your purpose in life is. God is right in front of you. Amen. It's usually right in front of you. You ain't got to go searching and searching and searching and saying, I can never find God's will. He'll never let me find it. I don't know what it means for me. You know, that ain't the way it is, man. God wants you to know his will. He wants you to be sanctified. And Jesus Christ has said, my Father sanctified me and sent me into the world. And he says, thou blasphemy because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. He says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan. So the word is sanctified, sanctified. Now take your Bible, look in John chapter 17. Look in John chapter 17. That word sanctified is very important in the Christian's life. Amen. And it ought to be. The word sanctified ought to be very important in our lives. And the Lord wants you to, we was talking about Ichabod this morning, about, you know, Ichabod and these men that were, they were set apart for a purpose and for a reason they were supposed to do, and they blasphemed God by the way they lived. They blasphemed God and took it lightly. As Christians, we should not take the word of God lightly in our lives and the sanctification that he set us apart for. And look what the Bible says this in John chapter. Now these, like Charlotte and Paulie got up here. You know what? They're sanctified, amen, set apart. Their mom and dad got them sanctified, set apart for them, their family. Yeah. And they have a purpose they want to see in their children's life. They don't know what they're going to do in their life, but they have a purpose, and they want to see God protect them, take care of them. That's the job of the daddy, to watch over the child, the job of the mama to train up that child. And God has a purpose for us. He wants the best for us. And he knows the best for us is us being sanctified, yes, set apart. He knows that's the best for us. But what happens is we want to do our own thing.
That's right.
We want to live the way we want to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm 30 years old, or I'm 40 years old, or I'm 50 years old. Nobody going to tell me what to do, or I'm 20 years old, or have you ever heard this? I'm 13.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. Yeah? No, you don't. Samson used to say that to his mama. He said, I'm 19. You can't tell me. And mama smacked him in the mouth.
Man.
And he says, back up chapter 17 of John, and he look at verse 12, and while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me I kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the Lord said, he's praying to the Father, saying, all these I've kept in thy name. He's making intercession for us. And I love that. I love that my father hears this, our Savior, which paid our sin debt. He's praying for me. He's praying for you. You think just because I'm a preacher that I need to be I need to be the only one separated and sanctified. No, everybody in the room needs to be sanctified. And look at verse 1 of chapter 17. In those words Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given me. So that's our job, is to glorify the Father. And our job is to glorify him. And the way you do that is through being sanctified. Sanctify. He says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, and that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And you know, the Apostle Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He's ended his life. I want to be able to say the same thing. I'm going to say, I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I didn't turn my back on God. And Jesus Christ is saying that. He said, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, and the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And I was manifest in thy name unto the men that thou hast gave me out of the world. Thine they are, or were, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words. Now we're talking about words in Sunday school. Words, wonderful words of life. How they can, words can change your life. Words is what helps sanctify you and me. And these words, they're words from God. They're powerful words. And the Bible says, I have given them words that thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Look at that. See that? Jesus said, I ain't praying for the world. I'm praying for those that come to me. He says, now, I know the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's past tense.
Right.
He already gave his son. What does the world do? They reject it. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. But you know what gets our hearts every time? You know what gets us? Is the world. And that's one of our enemies. The world always gets a hold of us. And that's one of the enemies that God says you should count them an enemy. It's not like you walk to go to work tomorrow morning and say, y'all are my enemy. I hate y'all. No, that ain't the way he's talking about. And it says the world, the flesh, and the devil is our enemy. So the world is not our friend. The world wants to try to get your heart and try to steal your love that you should have for God, and that God set you apart for a reason. And you're his. You're not your own. Look what he says here. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. There's the only time Holy Father is mentioned in the Bible, and the Pope takes that name for himself. Only time talking about God the Father, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. You know who the son of perdition is, Judas. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, and now I come to, I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, and they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Don't ever think the world's going to be your friend. Don't ever think just because somebody's a Republican, they're on our side. They never are. Not very often if you find anybody that's saved. I remember I talked to Joe Biden. I talked to him about salvation. I told him he was going to go to hell if he didn't get saved. Joe Biden said he was saved. He patted me on the back and told me, I'm a Christian. I said, no, you're not. And so we went on around like that. And but he was trying to tell me he was saved. And I said, you know, like the man in the moon, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from what? The Lord said, well, you're going to be here. I'm praying that you don't get caught up in the world. I'm praying that you don't get infected by this world system. But sanctification will cause you to be separated for the glory of the Father and the Son. Sanctification. I'm putting God first, not the world. And the world is what always creeps in our hearts and our lives. It says in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy what?
Truth.
And thy word is truth. Sanctification. Look at verse 19. All right, let's read on down. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. He said, for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the what?
Truth.
Truth. Then he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. So he's praying, and he's saying, I sanctify myself, and the word of God will sanctify us. So that's why the battle is on. The battle is on a daily basis. I mean, on a daily basis. You say, man, why am I, you know, what happens to most Christians? I'll tell you what happens to them. They get tired of fighting that battle. And the battle is a lifetime. When you got saved, the battle started. Now, before you got saved, there was a battle going on. Before you got saved, you was in another battle. It was a different type of battle. But the battle was over the soul, for your soul, and you are battling against God. Now you got, you know, like, you know, you got the Lord on your side, and you're in the battle, and he says, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. So you got the Almighty on your side. I like that, Almighty. The Almighty is on your side to fight against this world if you won't quit. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. In Leviticus, it says, sanctify the Levites. Set them apart. So he gave them inheritance of these six cities of refuge. And all the tribes, you say, well, they didn't get no land. No, all the other tribes had to feed them. All the 11 tribes had to feed the Levites. They had to provide for them. Man, that was a pretty good deal. Now, go to Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. That word sanctification is not a bad word. It's not a cuss word. That word is God set you apart for a reason. You young people that got saved at a young age, God set you apart for a reason. And he's praying for you to get out of the world, not the world get a hold of you. They always say, you know, a ship in the sea can't sink as long as the water's not inside. The world is like the water on the outside. And you can sail through that waters in a ship as long as the water don't get inside. Once the water gets inside, you're sunk. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And we all have that battle. We have to fight against the world. And what I mean by that is it's the things of this world, desires of this world, the things that try to carry you away from God. And you think that's going to give you happiness and give you peace. You think it's going to give you some satisfy your flesh and satisfy your desires, and it doesn't. It just brings emptiness. And all these folks, these movie stars and all the singers and all that stuff, they drug themselves to sleep at night because they have no peace. They have no joy. I can lay my head on my bed, a pillow at night, knowing I'm saved. I always say this when I'm pray. I get on my knees and pray, and I get in bed. I lay my head on the pillow, and I say, good night, Lord. And I always ask him, watch over my family. Watch over the children. Protect them. I know God's on the job. He doesn't sleep nor slumber, the Bible says. He says he wants you to be sanctified. And you're sanctified. He said, you love the truth. Look in Acts chapter 20, look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn them every one night and day with tears. Paul's writing. He says, therefore, watch and remember. And you talking about somebody had a, talked about Paul this morning. Paul prayed, wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Went through, God told him everything he was going to have to suffer, and he went through all that, and he went through it gladly. And then he says, I'm watching. He said, watch and pray, and like Jesus said, but therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You know what I was telling a guy after he got saved this morning? I explained to him. I said, when you get saved, you're like a newborn baby. You don't understand. I said, we've seen babies come into church here. I've got grandchildren. And those little babies, their eyes are looking up, and they're dependent on the mama. They depend on that mama. They'll recognize, after a little while, they'll start recognizing their mama. And they get excited to see their mama. And then later on, they recognize their father. And I said, like a little baby, desire to sense the milk of the word that you might grow thereby. God's desire for every child of God is to continue to grow, not to come stagnant, not to become, to the place where you're not growing. Whenever a child is not growing and is not developing, we call that a child as, you know, now they, we what? Disabled, but, you know, we used to say the child is retarded. We used to say that. Now we don't say that no more. They don't say that's not politically correct. You need to not say that. We need to say that the child is disabled. And but you see, I've seen some disabled children, and it breaks your heart. And some men and women disabled, not able to comprehend, not able to get things. God doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to grow. Now God's made children like that. But God wants you to grow in grace and knowledge of his word. He wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to grow and learn. Now, in verse, where was it? Where was I? 32. Now, we're going to get down to 32. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah. He says, and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are what? There's something else. You need to underline that in your Bible. God wants you to, the only way you're going to have an inheritance is if you set yourself apart.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah. You want an inheritance? Everybody wants an inheritance. Once somebody dies, they go, hey, man, they leave me anything? They leave me anything? And, you know, and then, you know, they leave you something. You go, oh, I love old uncle. What's his name? I had an uncle leave my family. My mom called me up one day and said, your Uncle Joe died. I don't remember Uncle Joe. My sister's here. She remembers Uncle Joe. And Uncle Joe was a good man, never had no children. Uncle Joe died down in North Carolina. He lived in North Carolina. He bought a lighthouse. He had a lighthouse, and we went down to his house. I remember as a little kid going to his, I think the only trip we ever taken, I can remember. And we went to his house, and Uncle Joe didn't have no children, had a wife, but no children. And he liked us, and I don't know why, because he liked us. But we had an Uncle Joe and Uncle Bill, and my mom's side. And Uncle Joe left us an inheritance. He left us something. And I told my mom, I said, I didn't even know him. And he left us. And mom said, yeah, he did. Left every one of us something. And he had this lighthouse. I remember climbing up in that lighthouse. Man, you could see out over the ocean and everything. He had that thing. Man, it was the coolest house he ever seen, right on the water. And down in New Bern, North Carolina. But look what it says. It says verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. God's word is able to build you up. And that's what I was telling this guy this morning. I said, I said, you know, you get saved, you get in that book, you start growing, you as a little child, and you used to keep, then you learn how to walk or crawl and walk, and you get on your own 2 feet. That's God's desire to see you get to the place, and I said, you can get stronger and stronger and stronger, and you can be able to quote his word and memorize his word and be able to hide the word of God in your heart and be able to show somebody else how to get help from it. God wants you that. He wants everybody in this room to be sanctified to that point to be able to help other people. And he says, to them, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 15. Look in Romans 15. These are some scriptures I just looked up real quick and writing them down. Romans 15. Think about that word sanctified. I was going to give every one of the guys a word. Maybe I will for next week. Give them a word just on justification or redemption and all of those words. But Romans chapter 15, and look at verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. That, man, ain't that a good verse? Ain't that great? And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. He's talking to the Church of Rome, not the Roman Church, Catholic Church. He's talking to the brethren that are in Rome. He says that ye also are full of goodness. You know, it's a blessing to see somebody just good. Just got goodness about them. And sincerity. That's why I like to be around the kids. Kids, and what happens is somewhere in their life they learn how to be unsincere. They learn to, you don't have to teach that to them. They learn how to be to the place in their life where they're not sincere about nothing anymore. And then they start lying. And they start doing stuff. And they start trying to get their way and have their way. But it's a blessing to see somebody just good. Just do what's right. It's a blessing. It says, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. And being able to encourage somebody. And a lot of people know how to tear each other down. People know how to destroy each other with words. And I said that this morning, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Words do hurt. Yeah. They hurt you. But these words, the words of God, will help you. Amen. They'll strengthen you. They'll sanctify you. So when was the last time you admonished somebody to live for God and do what's right? Amen. When was the last time you said, come on, man. This world ain't got nothing for you. Why you act like that? Why you want to be out there in the world? Why, as a Christian, why would you want to act like that? I mean, when people are dying and going to hell, and you got the answer, you're the worst kind of criminal there is.
Right.
You got the answer of how to get to heaven, and you know the word, and you don't tell nobody. You just let them burn.
Right.
What kind of friend are you?
Yeah.
After I got saved, the gang of guys, I loved them guys. I loved them. And I still do. Every one of them are dead. Now they're dead. One of them, I think, is still alive. And they all died. Drug overdose. Shot. Stabbed. But you know what? I loved those guys. And what I did, I got saved. I made them all get on their knees. But they didn't mean it. I made them all get on their knees one day. I got around, I said, y'all get on your knees now. Get on your knees. Everybody get on your knees. And I made them pray a prayer. And they got down and they prayed. But they didn't mean it.
Right. Yeah.
But I loved them. And I kept saying, come on, go to church with me. What happened was they quit going. They said, man, they got together and they said, he's crazy. They knew I was crazy before, but they said, he's crazy. He made us pray a prayer to a God we don't even know. And I thought, man, that was it. I thought that was the way to get them. And, man, I kept witnessing to him, kept telling him. And when they got locked up, I'd go see him, talk to him. And they said, you still going to church? Yeah, man, I'm still going to church. It's what changed my life.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It changed me. Look here. Look at 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind. And that's what I'm trying to do tonight. Putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be accepted, being sanctified by what? Now, how many of you all in here tonight, if you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost? How many of y'all?
Amen.
The Bible says you're sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And you got to remember, when you go out and you're talking and you're doing stuff that you do, and you got to keep your mind right, and what you got to do is say, Lord, don't let me think that mess. Because you got 10,000 thoughts that go through your head every day. And if you start looking at something and looking at something you shouldn't be looking, the Holy Ghost of God, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's say, don't look at that. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That's the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God inside you knows that it's going to cause you not to be sanctified, set apart. It'll cause you to get away from God. And that's what the Bible says, the Holy Ghost, you're sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And now, when I got saved, now there's a filling of the Holy Ghost. Now, I got saved, I got the Holy Ghost. But there's a time when you get power in your life by the Holy Ghost of God. And that means that what I'm talking about is that when the Holy Ghost of God, he's there, but you allow him to have his way in your life. You say, Lord, I give it all to you. And you mean it. And say, Lord, I give up. I'm quit fighting against you. Because right now, inside you and I, we got a battle that goes on. The battle goes on against the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants you to wants to have full control of your life. And what happens is the flesh says, no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the way I want to live, and you're not going to tell me. Or there comes a decision, or down you have to make a decision. You come to a crossroads in your life, and the Holy Ghost will say, don't go that way. Don't do that. And the best thing you could do is say, Lord, do you like that, or should I do that? Pray about it. So you don't get messed up and be unsanctified.
Yeah.
Now, God's not going to take his Holy Spirit from you, but you can cause, the Bible says you can grieve the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when you grieve the Holy Ghost to God, that's why I believe, girls, you ought to say, God, is this pleasing to you? Should I wear
Amen.
This?
Amen.
Guys, God, should I wear this?
Yeah, good. Yes, sir.
I mean, Lord, I want to be sanctified. I want to please you. See, when it comes down to your heart.
Amen.
If you want to please God and you want the Lord in your life, you want the glory we're talking about this morning, not letting the glory depart. You want to be sanctified and you want to be set apart for his glory and his blessings, you'll ask him.
Amen. Yeah.
You'll be praying.
Amen.
Lord, what should I do? You know, I thought about this. When was the last time people prayed about things?
Good.
When was the last time you said, God, what should I do?
Yeah.
I mean, you ought to be praying about, what should I buy? I pray about that. Lord, should I buy that or should I not? If it's going to be for your glory, are you going to use it? But what happens is we don't do that.
Sure. Yeah.
We don't pray. Every time I get ready to preach, I go in the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. You say, you spend a lot of time in the bathroom. Yeah, I spend a lot of time in the bathroom. I'm in there praying. I get on my knees right by the toilet and say, God, please, show me. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Yes, the way I am. I realize where I came from. I came from inside. I came from inside. I get down beside the toilet. I said, God, help me, Lord, and use me. I was telling that fellow this morning. I said, hey, man, God will help you. If you want to help, he'll help you.
Yeah.
But you know what? What bothers me is people go on and on, and then they'll end up ruining their life. Just like this boy that hung himself, Regina's son. And I remember talking to that boy, Dylan. I talked to him many times, and he thought, I know what I'm doing. And then he called me and wanted to live with me twice, and he thought, and then he couldn't find a reason to live. He said, was he saved? He said he was. Did he have the Holy Ghost? Yes, if he was saved.
Right.
You mean you can go that far? Yeah.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah.
You can go that far. I thought, what a waste, man.
Amen.
What a waste. A wasted life. Verse 16. He says that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, and the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. See that thing? Be acceptable. You know, the Bible talks about the three wills of God.
Sure.
There's the perfect will of God. There's the good will of God. And then there's the acceptable will of God. And then the perfect will of God. You know what I want in my life? I want the perfect will of God. I don't want just a good will of God, because that'd be God let you, okay, you want to do what you want to do, you go ahead and do it. You're going to pay the consequences for it.
Right, amen.
acceptable, okay, I'll accept it, but you know, you see people in and out, up and down. Why can't we just stay? You say, well, circumstances. We always have circumstances come up. And that's where decisions are made. And that's where prayer should be made, not just reaction. Should be praying on decisions that's going to be made rather than reacting.
Amen.
Look what he says. I'm going to quit with this in a minute. But in verse, 16? He said, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Notice capital H-O-L-Y, holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God said, be ye holy as I'm holy.
Amen. Amen.
You got the Holy Ghost inside you. You grieve him. You know, I've said this before, why a lot of people spend time on, I think why a lot of people spend a lot of time on Facebook. Now, Facebook can be, you can put something out, prayer, something like that. But a lot of people spend a lot of time on Facebook.
Sure.
Just spending time. And I thought, I wonder how much praying they're doing.
Amen. Yeah.
A lot of time wasted. And you ask them, give me a verse. Give me a verse. Or just give me a scripture verse. They can't do it.
Amen. Yeah.
But we take time doing other things.
Right, sir.
Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. I love this. It says, unto the church of God. The church of God is you know, that's the name of the church, God's church. Saved people. Church of God. So what about the church of God that's, you know, the church of God now? You know, they got the, I'd say they got the best name when it comes to, you know, knowing, but they don't have the right doctrine.
That's right.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. He's talking to the Corinth church, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all them, all that are in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Back up to verse 9. This is a very interesting verse. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, or revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are what?
Sanctified.
But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God.
Amen.
All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. See, he's saying all things are lawful, but not, it's not expedient. It's not probably good for me. I can do it. When I got saved, I got rid of race cars. I got rid of all that stuff that's going to hinder me. I got rid of that stuff. I said, anything that's going to hinder me, I'm going to get rid of it. All things are lawful unto me. There wasn't nothing wrong with racing, but I had to get rid of it. Anything that was going to, I remember a preacher said this, anything that cools my love for Jesus Christ is the world.
Amen.
Anything that cools, and you say, I said the world creeps into all of our lives. And sometimes we don't even expect it. We don't detect it till it's in there deep. He says, such were some of you, but ye are sanctified and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So the whole battle is in your life is trying to stay sanctified. Trying to keep sanctified. Now we're already sanctified in the Holy Ghost, but trying to keep ourselves sanctified, set apart for his glory. Because you know it. You've all been around this church. We see more of a turnover in this church than any other church I've ever seen. I've been in a lot of churches. And there's such a turnover here of people that we see them get saved, and they see them go for a while, and they go on for the Lord, a little bit for the Lord, and they go on, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. You say, what happened to them? Then we see them maybe make appearance back, and then they go out again, and then they make another appearance, and then they're out again. You say, what happened to them? Now, I don't get mad at them. I said that this morning. I don't get mad. I pray for them. I try to encourage them. When I see them, I try to encourage them. Yeah. I was telling April, there's a little girl that works at Chick-fil-A. Her name's Skye. And she said, I got saved here at maybe Vacation Bible School or something. She got saved. I want to see her. I told her she's 17 now. I said, why don't you get back in? She said, I want to, preacher. She came up to Chick-fil-A, hugged me. And she said, I want to get back in. You know, I know the world, now the world's going to try to put roadblocks in her way. And when a person says, I want to get back to the Lord, and here we are, we got Christian kids raised in church and all that, and they're constantly looking out to the world, trying to get to the world, trying to go back to the world and try to get out. And so they think, I know what I'm doing. Just get out of my way. Don't let me. And the parents are trying to hold them back from the world. And they go out, and then they'll make a big mess, and then the world says, ha, you can't go back there. You done made a mess. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say, I told you so. That's how the devil works. That's how the world works. Destroy you. Destroy your life. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. Look at verse 14. That word's sanctified. Sanctified. It's not a dirty word. Sanctified. Here's a good one. Let's look up. It's talking about a husband and wife. And if they're separate and he's not saved or she's not saved, look what it says. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Real clear. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife, you know, divorcing her. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Saying if she's not a believer, talking about a guy, I was just talking to a guy this week, and his wife, she lives right there in Kenton, and I was talking to him at Walmart, and he told me, he said, preacher, I'm going to divorce her. I got to divorce her. I said, why? He said, well, our daughter got killed, and it was a result of my wife. She went back to the drugs. She started doing heroin again. He said, I couldn't live with her. She was out running around all night. She come home in the morning, and I asked her where she'd been. She started a fight with me. And he's a good man, as far as I know. He's a good Christian man. He loves the Lord. And he said, she starts a fight with me, and she starts arguing with me. And then she goes out the next night. She's drinking, carrying on. And he said, my children don't even want to be around her. They're with me. I had to move out. My kids are living with me. And he said, I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, well, man, I'll be praying. He said, I've been praying for years that she'd get right. So I rode by, I seen her sitting out there. I told her, I said, you mind if I talk to her? He said, no. He said, maybe you can get through to her. I haven't talked to her yet. But he said, she's out doing drugs every night. She's probably, she's about to lose the house. She hadn't paid a payment. She hadn't cut the grass. She hadn't done nothing. He said, she's about ready to foreclose on the house. He said, I think she's even prostituting herself so she can get drugs. I was standing in Walmart, and when he said that, I went, my God. I said, come here, man, let's pray. My God. He says, and the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is what? Sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such case, but God had called us to peace. That's given saying that if a man or woman is married to an unbeliever and they decide to leave, or there's nothing you can do about it. But it says that the children are sanctified and the husband sanctified by the believer. They're sanctified because they're one. When they got married, they're one. They're sanctified. Now set apart. Now that's saying God's able to deal with them because she's a child or he's a child of God. God deal with them. And if they don't get right, then it's going to be condemnation. Now take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll stop with this. There's a bunch more I want to show you. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible's got something for everything, man. But when it talks about being sanctified, that's a serious business. And when God saved you, he sanctified you for his glory. You're his. No doubt about it. You're his. Look at verse 21. Here's a big one. Here's another big one. He says, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband, as on the Lord. I read this. I always read this during a wedding. I had a girl here. I did a wedding. I was thinking about that tonight, coming up the road, how many weddings I've done, and what's the percentage of people still together and all that stuff. And there's no guarantee. You know, some people think, if I get so-and-so to marry me, I'm going to stay married because he did it. No. You got to, when the preacher's not involved in it, you've got to work things out. You got to work, you know, you're going to work through hard times and troubles and all that stuff. You got to work things out. And if you'll both go to God about it, it'll work out. If only one goes to God and the other one doesn't, then that could be it's going to be a constant fight and constant struggle. But I was riding up the road thinking about that. And I told you about this guy. I married this guy. His name's Sam. And I don't know if some of y'all remember Sam. Sam was the manager of Bob Evans. I'd go in Bob Evans. Sam'd come over. He was the manager there, and he'd come over and talk to me. His wife was working there, and our girlfriend there. They met each other, got married. And they were coming to church here, and they got married here. And she, when they were getting ready to marry them, she said, hey, preacher. I said, yeah. I said, yeah, Mary. She said, can we take that part out, me obey him? And I said, what do you mean, take that part out? And she goes, I don't want to say that. She was serious. I don't want to say it. Where I say, you know, for a man, you know, honor, love, and cherish, all, but for a woman, thou shalt, you know, obey. And she's, I don't want to say that. I said, Mary, you're going to say it, or I ain't marrying you. Amen. And so I had her so worked up about it. I told her, I said, Mary, you better say it, and you better say it loud and clear. You better let everybody hear. And even though she said it, and when we got to that part, and she had to repeat after me, love, honor, and obey. And she went, love, honor, obey! Everybody started laughing because I went, whoa. Everybody laughed because she said it, because she was so nervous about not saying it right. She said it so loud that I just backed up and I started laughing. Everybody started laughing. 1 year later, I walk into the bank. I walk in the bank, and lo and behold, I walk by her, and there she was sitting. I said, Mary, how y'all doing? They moved to Pennsylvania. They moved away from here. He became this supervisor or head superintendent over all the Bob Evans of Pennsylvania. And the guy loved his work. He loved doing what he did. And Mary was, she didn't want to be, and he worked. I told him, I said, spend time with your wife, spend time, if you have children, spend time. I said, don't fall in love with your work and do all the, always working. And that's me telling him that. I'm always working. But anyway, I said, don't do that. I said, you just got married, spend time with your wife. I know some of you young couples looking around at each other. But I said, spend time with your wife. You got to do that. You got to spend time with each other. You got to be on the same page and all that. If you don't, you're going to go further and further apart. And they were married 1 year. I walked by her in the bank. I said, hey, Mary, how you doing? She stood up. She hugged me. And she put a smile on. She said, funny, I had to see you today. And I said, why? What's the matter? Is today your anniversary? She said, no, today my divorce is final. I said, Mary, why didn't you call? Why didn't you call me? She said, Sam wouldn't let me. I said, you could have called me. She said, I don't love him anyway. Man, I'll tell you what. You talking about something breaking your heart. I walked out of that bank that day and I went, my God. I said, Lord, did I do something wrong? Lord, did I do something wrong? I should have. Think, what else could I have done? They didn't call me. They didn't tell me. Look at verse 22. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. See, people don't realize preachers go through stuff like that. You want to blame yourself for somebody falling. Maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe I didn't preach enough. Maybe I didn't encourage them enough. You blame yourself if you love people. If you don't love people, you'll just go, pfft. Look at this. For a husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might, what? And cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. God loves the church. And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it. When it comes to sanctification, it's very important in a Christian's life. Because the Lord wants you to be sanctified. And you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't argue with your family, so your prayers be not hindered about husband and wife. And the Lord loves the church. He wants the church to be sanctified, set apart. People know this church. They knew churches just like this. And we preach the gospel, and we want to see people saved. And I've said this morning, people say, are you still hellfire, damnation? Oh, yes. Why? Because the Bible's still, hell's still real.
Right.
And sanctification is important in my life as well as your life. Being set apart for his glory, for his honor. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, if you don't do that, then God will have to do something if you don't sanctify yourself. Now, God has mercy. He has more mercy on a young Christian than he does on an older Christian. He'll have more mercy on a person just getting saved than he would somebody. And what bothers me is about Christians, as the older we get, the less sanctified most Christians get. When you first get saved, you're on fire. You want to be sanctified. You want to be on fire for God. But as you get older, you learn how to, I hate to say play the game, but you've learned how to, you know, just to get by. I don't want to just get by in my Christian life.
Amen.
I want to be sanctified.
Amen.
I want to be pleasing in his sight. And I care less what anybody thinks about what I'm trying to do for his glory.
Amen.
I want to be sanctified.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
That's one of them words, man. That's one of them words, sanctification.